It's Tuesday, October 31st, 2023. And this is Uranium Spotlight, your weekly podcast dedicated to delivering the latest news and events shaping the uranium fuel market and its critical role in the global energy landscape. Brought to you by PurePoint Uranium Group, trading on the TSX Venture and the OTCQB. PurePoint actively operates a portfolio of advanced uranium projects in the world's richest uranium district and has established partnerships with some of the largest uranium suppliers worldwide. While our passion for this subject is undeniable, it's essential to clarify that the information presented here is not investment advice. Instead, our goal is to offer an unbiased and comprehensive review of recent events that could impact uranium prices. And now your host, Chris Frostad.
This week on Uranium Spotlight, we take a special look at the United States and their prominent position in the world nuclear landscape. We'll look at new funding measures for U.S. SMRs, support for the even smaller microreactor, and a couple of states whose governors are having a hard time stopping a nuclear future. The spot price of uranium touched another milestone last week, closing up a dollar at $74 U.S. per pound U308. This represents a price level not seen for over 15 years. Last week's NEI International Uranium Fuel Seminar, or IUFS, in Charlotte, North Carolina, hosted engaging discussions about movements in the spot and term uranium markets. Spot market activity in Charlotte remained subdued due to the back-to-back meetings, resulting in limited confirmed transactions. While bids increased during the week, sellers were less competitive, keeping the spot price unchanged throughout the week, briefly hitting $74 on Tuesday, the highest level since March of 2008. The IUFS discussions highlighted concerns over the availability of term uranium, particularly for 2004 through 2027, driving high activity levels. Multiple utilities are engaged in formal requests and off-market negotiations. Recent contract awards and ongoing demands underscore the urgency. The long-term uranium price rose $2 in October, closing out the month at $63 U.S. Several utilities seek uranium with delivery spanning from 2026 to 2035, indicating a robust market for term uranium contracts, with pricing consistently firming upward. Yesterday, Bloomberg reported that several hedge fund managers have started ratcheting up their exposure to uranium stocks as they bet on significant price gains. Matthew Langsford, who runs a $110 million U.S. natural resources fund at Sydney-based Terra Capital, says the outlook for uranium prices means the equities could see dramatic upside, 50%, 100%, possibly more. Today, nuclear power is the largest source of carbon-free electricity in the United States, with reactors in 30 different states accounting for 55% of clean energy generation and 20% of energy generation in the U.S. overall. The U.S. nuclear fleet includes some 93 reactors in total, with one more under construction. Given the likelihood of severely increased electricity demand over the next quarter of a century, the nuclear build-out of the next 25 to 30 years will need to be expansive. Even with a moderate increase in demand and with today's operating plants retiring after 60 years, keeping the same percentage of nuclear power in the generation mix would require the building of dozens of new reactors. Low natural gas prices since 2010 have hampered the willingness of companies and governments to start nuclear builds, or sometimes to finish ones already under construction. In the period from 1992 to 2007, the United States began to focus increasingly on developing gas-powered electricity generation, developing many times more natural gas plants than nuclear ones. This increased the price of natural gas until the development of natural gas from shale was introduced, lowering the price of gas and making reactors even less viable. Later, governments across the United States would make nuclear a priority as they realized its effectiveness in achieving clean air aims and reducing emissions. In line with this, new subsidies were brought to bear, and belabored construction of four new reactors began. However, this project was time-consuming and costly, and two of the reactors ended up canceled. Obviously, something needs to change in the building of new reactors. The U.S. could increase subsidies and start building new reactors in fleet mode, 10 at a time, as India and China are now doing. Or innovative technologies, such as small modular reactors, could offer a cheaper and faster choice. However, as there are currently no small modular reactors in the U.S., so it still has yet to be seen how the U.S. will increase its nuclear ability to keep up with demand. If the United States is going to build a fleet of advanced reactors, including small modular reactors, to combat climate change, officials at all levels of government know that they'll need to build a domestic supply of what is called HALEU, or high-assay low-enriched uranium. That is uranium that is enriched to a higher degree than what powers most reactors working today, about three or four times more. There is currently no facility in the United States capable of producing such fuel, with the only facilities being in Russia. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the U.S. government has been increasingly anxious to wean itself off Russian supplies of nuclear fuel, including the HALEU used in future advanced reactors. The Biden government this week announced that it was requesting $2.2 billion from Congress for the development of domestic HALEU supplies. The House of Representatives, for its part, passed the new bill. This bill allocates funding for the construction of small modular reactors as well as the development of HALEU supplies. Microreactors are another type of advanced reactor that are even smaller than a typical small modular reactor. Microreactors, when they become available, will generate a fraction of the electricity generated by a typical reactor, and it's possible that they'll be able to be mounted on the bed of a truck and transported to wherever they're needed. This past week, Westinghouse was awarded a front-end engineering and experiment design contract for its eVinci microreactor by the U.S. Department of Energy. This contract will aid in the building of a prototype reactor at Idaho National Laboratory. Westinghouse also announced that they would be starting an eVinci accelerator hub outside of Pittsburgh. The 87,000-square-foot facility will be used for engineering and licensing, as well as prototyping, sales, and all other requirements for launching the microreactor. The DOE also awarded $2.5 million to X-Energy for the development of their own microreactor for commercial use. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois vetoed a bill last week, saying that the recent bill passed by his state legislature to lift the state's moratorium on nuclear reactors did not offer enough protections against environmental and safety concerns. Now the legislature is threatening to overturn that veto by simultaneously passing a second bill more likely to avoid a rejection. Either way, legislators are obviously committed to building a new and advanced reactor in Illinois. In North Carolina, Democratic Governor Roy Cooper vetoed their bill to allow utilities to build new nuclear reactors. He too was then overridden by his state's legislature, with all Republicans and five Democrats in both houses of the legislature voting to override that veto. Consequently, both states will likely be allowing new nuclear builds, perhaps against the wishes of their governors. And finally, Cameco has signed a uranium supply agreement with China Nuclear International Corporation, a subsidiary of China National Nuclear Corporation, or CNNC, one of the country's largest nuclear power operators. The contract, finalized earlier this year, was marked as part of the 2023 International Forum on Natural Uranium Industry, taking place in Beijing. China is counting on nuclear energy to play a major role in its commitment to achieve net zero emissions, and CNNC is a large and growing part of that effort, said Cameco President and CEO Tim Gitzel. Cameco is very pleased to continue increasing our contribution towards the attainment of China's important climate goals. Terms and details of the supply agreement are commercially confidential and will not be publicly disclosed. The contract volumes are reflected in the 215 million pounds of uranium Cameco reported having under long-term contracts as of April 27, 2023, and the reported average annual delivery volumes of 28 million pounds per year from 2023 to 2027, as of June 30th, 2023. And that wraps up your Uranium Spotlight coverage for this week. For more news and events from the world of uranium, please tune in next week to Uranium Spotlight.
You've been listening to Uranium Spotlight, your weekly podcast dedicated to delivering the latest news and events shaping the uranium fuel market and its critical role in the global energy landscape. Brought to you by PurePoint Uranium Group, advancing its position as the premier uranium explorer in the world's richest uranium district. Join us again next week for Uranium Spotlight.